This is new for me. I feel like big church pastor. Where they don't, where they all hold a microphone now. I'm just going to take this out here. All right, I got to get used to this. I'm not used to holding the microphone thing. I want to welcome you. Let's just pray before we start today. God, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to be here. God, we feel and we know this is not home, just temporarily. But every Sunday we get together as we participate in worship, in communion, in giving, in reading of the scripture, we know that it's going to be okay. And it feels like home. And we're okay with that. God, we thank you for all the dads out there being an example to their family and their children. We will also pray and ask that you comfort those who might be hurting today. God, be with us. Open our hearts, our mind. Move in us and move through this place. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to welcome those who are watching online and also Gary Sorber. It's at Pennsylvania. I know you're sitting there with Grandma. Tell Grandma to say hello and your family as well. Jim and Crystal all the way in the West Coast. And usually I try to say hi to as many people as I can, right, around the country, around all the millions around the world. And Tyler, I know you're watching in Tennessee. And Jane, it's here, but her sister is watching in South Carolina. Gail, good to see all of you. I love getting together with you every Sunday morning. I mean, honestly, I really do. Because the purpose of the Bible, 66 books, a collection of letters, poetry, prophecy, the intent of this library composed together of documents is to point us towards one thing and one thing only, and that is God. The Old Testament gives us a picture of God as a holy God, as a God who means what he said, and as a God who loves you dearly, and a God who works through people who are very unqualified. The New Testament contains letters of people, apostles, those who were eyewitnesses to the resurrection. Some knew Jesus personally. Some were the disciple of a disciple. And contrary to the misconceptions that you guys have, the Bible was not written to control humanity. That's like the popular thing to say. It wasn't written to control humanity. The Bible was inspired by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible did not jumpstart Christianity. The resurrection did. Without the resurrection, there is no such thing as Christianity or the Bible. And because of that, we do not have the liberty of picking and choosing what we want to believe or to believe in the Bible. We believe because we look at Jesus as the life we are modeling after. Even though sometimes we don't like it. So if I'm offending you today, it's not me offending you. It's God's word revealing to you what you need to change and what things we need to fix of ourselves to follow Jesus. I'm simply just relating a message from John to you. And sometimes I don't like it, but I'm working on it. It changed my life. And it's still changing me. So, hold on to your seats. If you're at home, hold on to your coffee. We're going to talk about the woman at the well. For the past several weeks, we're going through this portrait of Jesus. And every chapter of John, it illustrates a picture of Jesus, who he was, who he is, and what he's going to do. So he left Judea and went back to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town named Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground where Jacob has blessed his children, and he gave them a well. Jesus was tired, as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noontime. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?"
"You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?"
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and we have given you living water."
"Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and this well is deep. You can get this living water. How? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it as his sons and livestock?"
"Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
"Sir, give me this water and I won't get thirsty, and I'll have to keep drawing water from here."
"Go, call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband."
"You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have, it's not your husband. What you have just said, it's quite true."
"Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. The fact is, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem?"
"Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshiper must worship in spirit and in truth."
"I know that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he's going to explain everything to us."
"I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Amen. A lot to unpack here. Reading from a 21st century mindset, no big deal. No big deal. A woman at the well encounters Jesus. He told her she had done some things. No big deal. She went back into town. She says, "Hey, come and see the man that told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And people begin to come out to see Jesus. No big deal. That's the sermon. John mean it when he says, "For God so loved the world that all who believe in him will not perish and have eternal life." He mean it. Everybody, including that woman at the well. So if you're coming to church today to look for one-liner, for inspiration, and you go home and you post it on Instagram, here it is. I do this to you every single Sunday. The one-liner for you to be inspired and put on Instagram. Stop focus on your past because God has your future. Amen? All right, simple enough. Steve Harvey says the same thing, by the way. And he didn't even read it from the Bible. Stop focus on your past because God has your future. Simple enough. Okay, I got another one for you. Regardless of your past, Jesus only sees your future. Amen? All right, that's pretty good. Okay, 2 for 2. I got another one for you. All your wrongs can be made right by Jesus. All right, awesome. So, there you go. That's what it has to do with us, okay? You want more or no? All right, you want more? Okay, you want more? All right, what is this story about? The purpose of these letters to prove Jesus was real. He walked this earth. He died on the cross. He resurrected from the dead. The purpose was to replace our spiritual punishment to bring us back to God. Eternal life with our Creator. Since the creation of the world, man has done whatever we can to move us further and further and further away from God. We come up with some silly, slick, educated, whatever ways we can come up with ways to explain, to argue, to push God away from society. The one true God is no longer the God that everyone worship, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, it gets worse. In the name of religion, Christianity included, humans have done horrible things to each other. We oppress. We create social class and hierarchy. We dominate. We enslave. We ostracize people. We disregard, devalue what was sacred between us and God, and between two human beings, it's no longer sacred. We exclude, we punish anything wrong we can do to another human being we have done. And it's taken place right here in the story of the woman at the well. Reading with the 21st century mind, no problem. She accepted Jesus Christ, who forgot her past. Don't focus on your past because Jesus knows your future, and that's what we walk away with. But when we look at the problem here, it's much deeper than that. A lot of things to unpack here. Jesus is on his way to Galilee. Most Jews would walk around Samaria to get to Galilee because they didn't want to go through Samaria. But Jesus walked through Samaria. Now, who are the Samaritan women? Or who are the Samaritan people? And who is this woman? 700 years before Jesus came, the Israelites were captured by the Assyrians into exile. During that exile, some of the Israelites would intermarry with the Assyrian people. And after the exile, they came back. The people were intermarried with the Assyrians people, were considered half-breed. They were unclean. Talking about prejudice and racism. They weren't allowed to go back to Jerusalem. They were forced to go live into the desert because they were simply not good enough to be in Jerusalem. But they held on to the faith. They had the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. So they kept that close to their heart. And because they couldn't go and worship in Jerusalem, they created a new temple at the mountain Gerizim near Shechem. She was a woman. Jesus was a man. In that culture, women were not allowed to approach men, to consider a Jewish man. There were rumors going around town that Samaritan women were constantly menstruating or menstruating. They were constantly unclean. So a man had no business talking to a woman. And it was so bad that anything a Samaritan touches is considered unclean, so a Jew would not touch the same things that a Samaritan woman would touch. That's why she says, how can you draw water? You don't have a jar. Because I know my jar, now it's unclean, according to you. So this conversation was very hostile, by the way. It wasn't this lovely, hey, Jesus, here's a drink. What's going on? Jesus, hey, please give me. No, it was very hostile. She said, you Jews says we have to worship in Jerusalem. So you're telling me that I got to get you water when you Jews tell me we have to go and worship in Jerusalem? We're worshiping at Mount Gerizim, something we made up. So this conversation was back and forth, hostile. Go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. She had a lot of baggage. She had a string of failed marriages and was currently living with the man that was not her husband. She was drawing water at a well at midday, which is an odd time to draw water because it's hot. But she went by herself, no children to help, no friends to come along, and no man to come and help her take the water back by herself at this midday at the well. Why was this conversation so great? Because Jesus, ignoring all religious rules, breaking barriers and stepping over boundaries. This is the complete opposite of what the world tells you about the Bible and Christianity. Christianity, when it's done the way Jesus did it, values, protects, and honors women. You know, to think about it, every woman on this earth should be the first to run and follow Jesus. He was the first man ever to walk on the earth and said, don't do that, woman. When the nation of Israel marched into Canaan, they were the first people that says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. The Israelites were the first people to say every human being that walks on this face of the earth were equal. Man and women. Christianity wasn't created by some bozos written 200 years ago to control humanity. No, Christianity was God's word for us, inspired by the resurrection that put all of us in the same playing field, and women were upheld by Jesus. For God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. At some point, I'm going to have to tackle that, by the way. Male and female, he created them. Does Christianity oppress sexuality? Save that for another day. I hope you come back. So Jesus came onto the scene. He healed a bleeding woman. He chased the man who was about to stone a woman. Women were shouting to Jesus from a distance, says, blessed are you and the woman who bore you. That's how popular he was to the women during his time. A woman lost her son, so Jesus was compassionate on her, so he raised him from the dead. At the crucifixion, Jesus called the women daughters of Jerusalem. And he called the women and he says, you are the daughters of Abraham. He let a woman approach him to worship him and wash his feet with her tears. And he held women to the same responsibilities of sins as the men. He reinforced the Ten Commandments. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. The teachings of the Bible doesn't oppress women. Rather, sinful people have twisted and jerry-picked what they want to believe in the Bible to oppress humanity by any means necessary. You know, to think about it, Jesus was the first one to start the woke movement. Like, Jesus was more woke than anybody ever lived in that society. So you want to be woke, you know, go follow Jesus. That's woke. That's against culture. You want to be so enlightened? Follow Jesus. Start a movement like Jesus did. Uptell everybody and start following God. That's radical. That's different. Going along with the world, it's not so woke. Jesus was the first one to start this movement. Jesus confronted people who claimed to follow God, but treat another human being less than human. Jesus can see that this conversation was not going, not that the way he planned it, but he can tell that she was a little bit cynical, a little bit angry, and possibly irritated. Put your shoes in her perspective for a second. It's midday. It's hot. Here's another man who is a Jew who don't like me already, who tells me I have to go worship in Mount Gerizim, and they worship in Jerusalem, who is telling me I'm half-breed, who's telling me I'm not good enough, but yet asking me for a drink. So Jesus turned around and says, go get your husband and come back. Go get your husband and come back. And she says, I have no husband. How sad is that statement? She's been through 5 relationships. And the man that she's with is not even her husband, but she was by herself drawing water. Where was he? I wish she would have went back and got the husband and come back. I would like to hear that conversation between Jesus and him. But men, we can learn from this. Happy Father's Day. I'm not yelling at you. We just happened to come across these passages of scripture today. Okay? Men, we can learn from this. What are we doing sitting at home and watch TV all day long? You get up, you take a shower, and you help out around the house. All the wives, amen? What were you doing leaving our women at home and sit at the bar all night long? What are we doing? Turn it off, close it, go home. Your kids, your wife needs you. Be a dad. Be a father. Be a leader in your household. I read a statistics on Barna Group a couple years ago, and it changed my life as well. When a man is the spiritual leader in the home, where you get up, you get dressed, you put your family in the car and say, we are going to church. Statistically, most likely, that family has a higher chance of making it without getting divorced and has a higher chance of their children become Christians because the man is the spiritual leader in the house. Guys, I know we're far from perfect. I know that. I'm still working on it. But at least try. Those of you watching online, at least try. Open your Bibles. Be a spiritual leader in your homes. What are you doing letting your woman going to the well at midday in the middle of a desert to draw water? Jesus knew he was sitting at home. That's why he said, go home and get your husband. He didn't say, go to his work. He didn't say, go stop him from what he's doing at his busy schedule. He says, go home and get him. Because he knew he was sitting at home doing nothing. You men, you get up, you get dressed, you take a shower, and you be a spiritual leader in your homes. Why are most volunteers in the schools are women? J.C. Mitchell was begging me to provide some men to just stand there in the cafeteria because there are no men in that school. And she said, they just want to see some guys. Why are most volunteers are women? So we're sitting at home, watching TV, making Hot Pockets. Do they still make that? I haven't had a Hot Pockets in a long time. So this conversation's going back and forth, and she turned the conversation back to Jesus. Listen to this hostile. He says, go get your husband and come back. And she says, oh, really? Oh, really? You, a Jew, been telling us we need to go worship in Jerusalem, and we're here worshiping this mountain. And you're telling, where are we going to find forgiveness? So at this point, she knew he was a little bit different. You people tell us we're outcasts. We're designated to this mountain, and we worship this God, the God of Jacob. And this wealth, it was a gift from Jacob to us. And Jesus didn't really care her past. Jesus confronts her for her own sin and her own responsibility in the relationship. Understand where Jesus is coming from. He's upholding women to the same responsibilities as the men. So she says, he says, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. You've been keep going back and forth 5-6 times to the same thing, and you expect something else to change in your life. I love coaching basketball, by the way. I still do. And when you train an athlete, you know, repetition is the key. But sometimes repetition will wear out your muscles. And as you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, you're going to break. You're going to tear something. You're going to get hurt. So one of the things we do to help athletes, or especially in basketball, I don't know any other sports, but in basketball, we mix up the training and make them do different things. Make them shoot uncomfortable situations, or make them run a certain route that usually they don't run. So the result can be different. And sometimes in our lives, we keep going back to the same thing over and over and over again, and we break, we tear, we get sad, we cry, but we keep going back to that same thing every single day. And Jesus says, your husband, you keep going back to him when you know you're here by yourself at midday drawing water. What are you doing? And for us, the same way, we can learn from this, men or women. What are we doing? We keep going back to the same thing, expecting something else to happen. I think Albert Einstein says something about that. We call it what? Crazy. So Jesus offered her forgiveness. He says, woman, believe me. A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews, yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. I know this Messiah. I know this Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Here's the moment of liberation. Here's the moment of freedom. And here's the moment for all of us in this room. Jesus, either who he says he is or he's not. We can't cherry pick and choose what Jesus says to believe in, because at this moment, Jesus says, I am he. And because I am he, that means everything he said and done, it is who he said he is, that he is the Son of God. Amen? He rose from the dead. This is a moment of freedom for her. He says, I know you don't know what you're doing. I know life been beating you down and people have mistreated you. I know you felt like you are an outcast, a less of a human being than the rest of those who believe that they are following God. I know. I know you don't have any children, and maybe that's why all these men didn't stay with you. I know. I know you coming here on midday by yourself, with no protection. I know. I know religion from our Jewish sect has excluded you and ostracized you. I know. But you're trying. You kept the faith. You read the Pentateuch. You haven't been perfect. And you have not worshiped in Jerusalem. I know. But your heart, it's in the right place. Because God cares more about your heart than your performance. And at this moment, he liberated her. And he says, God cares more about you than what you've done. The best part about this conversation, it's a little different than Nicodemus, like we talked about last week. Chapter 3, Nicodemus sought out Jesus. She didn't. Jesus went to the well. She happens to be at the well. He was a respected ruler. She was an outcast. He was a Jew, and she was a despised Samaritan woman. Two conversations, two separate people. It went very differently, but the result was the same. In spite of their differences, they both needed Jesus. They both needed to be born again. Both had needs only Jesus could meet. Both had needs that only Jesus could meet. God cares more about the heart of worshiping than your performance on a spiritual level. How much time I got? What time is it? What time is it? 11. Give me 5 more minutes. On a spiritual level, this encounter was a divine encounter. It was a divine appointment for God. Reading this through the 21st century, no big deal. A woman committed some sins. We can say something inspiration. Hey, God doesn't look at your past. He looks at your future. He's forgiven you. And hoorah, and get out of here. Tune in, guys. Jesus either said who he is or he's not. We can't pick and choose what we want to believe about Jesus and leave out the other stuff. I want you to tune in. Every occasion in the Bible that God plans out his redemptive plan has been at the well. Every redemptive plan or picture from Genesis to Revelation has been at the well. Abraham had 2 sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was an illegitimate son. He was the son of Hagar, a slave. So when his wife had another son, she got jealous. So Abraham sent Ishmael off. So Hagar took the son, walked into the desert. They ran out of water. So she put Ishmael down to die. She walked at a distance because she didn't want to see her son die. And then God, in Genesis 21, opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin of water and gave the boy a drink. So Ishmael lived. Side note, that's where Islam thinks their ancestor is from the line of Ishmael. They're wrong, but that's where they got it from. Moses met his wife at the well. Isaac met his wife at the well. Jacob met his wife also at the well. If you are a single dude in this room today, after church, find a well and stay there. Your future wife is coming. If you're a single dude, after church, go to a well and stay there. I want you to tune into this. Jesus flipped the conversation. And he said, go get your husband. Why? In the middle of the conversation of drawing water, I'm Jew, you're a Samaritan. Why are you telling us to worship here? Where? He says, go get your husband. Why? Because at that moment, Jesus says, I am your true husband. Because the Bible gives a picture of a wedding feast, that Jesus is the bride and we are the groom. So at this very moment, that is the, he is the groom and we are the bride. I'm sorry, flip it back. That Jesus is the groom and we are the bride. This moment, guys, is spiritual. Don't just walk away saying, oh, Jesus doesn't look at your past. He focused on your future. No, Jesus is God. He marries us. He redeems us. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about a marriage wedding where Jesus is the groom and we are the bride. And this moment is liberating for this woman because she walked away. She says, could this be the Messiah? Because he just said that I'm going to be married to him instead. Can this be a life-changing experience for me? And this should be a life-changing experience for all of us. It's spiritual. And the fact that it is spiritual, Jesus is who he said he is. We can't pick and choose what we want to believe. Yes, there are things I don't agree in the Bible from my human standpoint. I wish there's some things would change around, but I can't. Because we either believe that he is the Messiah or he's not. He just can't be something else. Amen? So at that moment, Jesus says, I am your husband. Because God's redemptive plan, it's at the well where he gives us living water and only he can satisfy our thirst. If you're here today and you don't have communion, go ahead and raise your hand. Our ushers will give you one. Very important part of our service. As Lou has come forward in the band, something we do here every Sunday. I still have a hard time opening this thing. Who has nails? Help me out here. Do you have one? Thank you. I want you to know how special this is. Every Sunday, you get to participate in something we call communion. And some of us have made communion as just a ritual or something we just do. But man, I hope today it changed the direction of your lives and knowing that you come to church because Jesus saved you. Because Jesus saved you. Regardless of the messes you made of yourselves, he saved you. And he says, this is my body for you. And do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood poured out for you. Washes away your sins. He says, do this in remembrance of me. I don't know where you're at in life. And you're watching at home as well. But if today is the day where you need to come to the well and meet Jesus, I encourage you to do that. If you have prayer requests or someone to talk to, our elders will be up here to pray with you and for you, to talk with you, whatever you need. And you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, never been baptized, we have a baptistry right behind here. We have change of clothes ready for you. I'm inviting you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and meet him at the well. The worst part you can do is leave here today and not see your Savior. So next few moments, I want you to spend some time in prayer. And if you have a decision to make, our elders will be up here to pray with you. But don't leave here without making a decision.